I'm Tanzina Vega, and I'm glad you're with us on The Takeaway. A couple of days ago, my home city of New York celebrated an important milestone. Zero new coronavirus deaths in a 24-hour period. Feels like we've come a long way from the terrifying peak of the pandemic back in April, when a statistic like that seemed inconceivable. But as we just heard, things are going in the opposite direction in many cities across the country, including in Phoenix, Arizona.
It has been difficult out here. We've set records of just the type you don't want to around COVID patients on ventilators, the number of Arizonans who've passed away. Hospital resources are getting more restricted, and our medical professionals are telling us they are quite tired. We saw a rapid increase after the Memorial Day holiday, and now we are getting enough distance from the 4th of July. We are wondering if we will see the same thing happen here.
That's Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, and I asked her how testing is going in her city and state.
Testing is incredibly difficult. We've had people wait 8, 10, 13 hours in a car trying to get a test, and then more than a week to get a result. Arizona has been behind on testing throughout the epidemic. Early on, we had the lowest per capita testing rates. I have been requesting federal support for many months. Originally, they said we just didn't have the virus caseload to justify federal support. I then started asking after we clearly did and became one of the epicenters. It took quite a while. Originally, the testing folks at Health and Human Services said we were just out of touch and everything was fine, but there were enough national headlines about people waiting in stifling heat while they struggled with respiratory challenges. And I'm very excited that the federal government has finally announced we will have federal support. We have been using private resources and our universities throughout, but that additional government support is so important when the levels are so high. We've hit positive rates above 25%, really one of the highest positive rates you've seen anywhere in the country, and there's a concern that that means we are not testing at the appropriate levels.
Mayor Gallego, I mentioned being here in New York and watching the having been the epicenter of the coronavirus crisis in March and April. We expected, I think a lot of folks in New York expected, that as the virus made its way across the United States, that other states would learn the lessons that we learned. What happened, in your estimation, in Arizona? Are people taking this seriously? Was it just a confluence of events? Why are we seeing this happening?
Some people in Arizona believe that it would follow the seasonal flu patterns where we don't see a lot of spread in the summer. Others, particularly our young people, just considered this to be something that is an affliction of older adults. We reopened too quickly in Arizona. The Centers for Disease Control guidelines say that you should not have uses such as crowded bars until phase three of reopening. Our governor decided to reopen before we had the 14 days of declining COVID cases that the Centers for Disease Control recommended. And then he went straight to many phase three uses, including those nightclubs. We saw a huge surge in cases among 20 to 44-year-olds. Many of those individuals have parents and grandparents who then got the virus. But it was really our younger residents who were responsible for so many of the caseloads during our rapid climb over the last weeks.
Has the tone among the constituents begun to change given what we're talking about, given the high rates of infection right now? Are people now more likely to wear masks than they may have been a couple of weeks ago?
From my perspective, over the last week, almost everyone I know now knows someone who's had severe health impacts or who's passed away. When it becomes personal, it becomes easier to justify wearing a mask. And I understand masks are uncomfortable. It is quite hot here. And, you know, as the mother of a small child, it is hard to convince him to do it. But to me, it is so worthwhile when you look at how much it can help slow the spread and just the benefits, because the loss of life is so heartbreaking out here, it seems worthwhile. We have had mixed messages from elected officials. The president had a large event out here without many people wearing masks, and we do have a member of Congress who does not want to see Anthony Fauci continue to serve. He thinks that Dr. Fauci is making the president look bad and doesn't deserve to continue. So I think mixed messages from elected officials has not helped.
A couple of weeks ago, we interviewed an emergency room doctor in Phoenix about managing the spike in COVID-19 cases. We talked to Dr. Frank LaVecchio, and here's what he had to say about how he was feeling.
I think our morale sucks. You know, once every week or so, we see one of our nurses or doctors get sick or respiratory techs. You know, I think we're all getting a little burnt and we have no release now.
Mayor Gallego, how do you respond to Dr. LoVecchio?
That is completely consistent with what I have been hearing from medical professionals. Our medical professionals have been really important voices during this. When we had rallies at our state capitol to try to reopen more quickly, nurses who'd worked a full shift went out there with masks on, of course, and told their side of the story, what they are experiencing. Our largest hospital system just put out a statement that they're looking at all options to increase capacity, whether it be taking pediatric beds and transitioning them to adult care or putting more than one patient in a hospital room. We are hopeful that there will be more resources coming from other states. Some of the private systems have already done so, and we are waiting for the governor's office to sign a contract on the government side. But the sooner the better, because we are facing exhausted, heroic medical professionals.
Do we know what the ICU capacity numbers are right now in Phoenix?
We are hovering around record levels. I think we've gone pretty much around the 90% level. There was a slight downward tick after we set a record recently, but we are concerned that for the sickest patients, the number of beds available are in the hundreds, and the surge and need could be much, much greater than the available capacity.
We also talked to Dr. Frank LoVecchio about the disproportionate impact that this virus is having, not just among in Phoenix, but across the state on Latino and indigenous populations. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
The great majority of people that come in that I see are Hispanic or Latin origin. And I think that has something to do with our population, which is, you know, very Latino, but also, you know, they're very relatively underserved. Many of them are blue collar workers. Many of them have taken public transportation or used other areas where they have to congregate, et cetera. Many of them live in multifamily homes. So disproportionately Latino, and the people who are getting killed are the Native Americans.
Mayor Gallego, how, if at all, are you addressing that issue specifically?
We are really trying to look at making sure we get resources to people who need it most. The city received coronavirus relief funds and has tried to allocate them in a way that we hope will reduce the impacts of COVID. We've allocated resources to help our refugee community. Phoenix has one of the largest resettlement communities historically, although many people not being resettled under this current administration. We've tried to partner with medical organizations to do testing that are experienced with working in our Latino community in particular, which is our largest in Phoenix. We're also trying to get resources with culturally competent partners to make sure people can get food deliveries and stay at home, to make sure those who are economically vulnerable have the chance to get government aid in fixing up an air conditioner or whatever might be the challenge that would drive someone out of their homes. The governor's eviction moratorium expires on July 22nd, and we're also trying to get aid to people to pay their rent and support through community legal services to help people get legal support to stay in their homes. So we're trying to reduce vulnerability while also, we hope, getting resources to those who need it most. The city of Phoenix does not have a health department. We would typically not be involved in public health, but we saw such a need in our traditionally Latino communities for testing that we did get involved in that area. We partnered with medical providers, so it is experienced people delivering the tests. We've also had a wonderful partnership with Arizona State University. They were just in West Phoenix this weekend delivering saliva-based tests, which are much more comfortable than those nasal pharyngeal tests and require less protective equipment for the providers who are implementing it. They've been able to deliver results in 36 hours, and we're told that studies from Yale and other entities say that they are perhaps even more accurate, but faster, which is so key because it's been our traditionally Latino areas where you've seen people waiting the 8 hours, 10 hours in a car in sweltering heat to get a test.
Speaking of that sweltering heat, Mayor, there's been a record-breaking heat wave in Arizona these past couple of days. And I'm wondering, we mentioned the heat, the weights. Is it making it harder to fight the surge?
One of the testing locations that had 8-hour waits is right by my home. And I watched people who are my neighbors out there In one case, a gentleman was refilling his car with gasoline because he'd run out of gas on a city street while waiting hours and hours, and he was struggling to breathe and sweating profusely, as you would expect in this heat. I'm concerned most people would not wait to get that type of test, so there are some who are not getting adequate medical information. We are also very concerned that it's driving even more people inside and that there are many who do not have great circulation, so you might see more indoor spread of the virus. It certainly is a heat wave that could not have come at a worse time.
Let's talk a little bit about businesses, too. I mean, we've spoken to folks out in Florida. We know that in Texas, they've already pulled back some of the reopening measures that had been put into place. In Florida, on the other hand, Walt Disney World was open this weekend. So I think there's sort of a mix in terms of how different states are dealing with their rising caseloads of coronavirus and what they're really willing to do to prevent the spread, particularly when it comes to opening businesses. How do you see this these two forces sort of continuing to bump up against each other? Because there are even folks, Mayor Gallego, who are suggesting that the only thing that'll stop this right now is really hardcore use of masks as well, or face coverings, in addition to potential new stay-at-home orders.
I would love to see a statewide mask requirement for Arizona. We don't have one right now. My city council and I have put one in place for the city of Phoenix. We had to ask the governor for permission to do that because his executive orders preempt cities from taking more protective measures. I've joined with mayors across Arizona to ask for more tools. For example, restaurants are still open, although recently went to 50% capacity. I have public health leaders who are telling me that that type of indoor seating and transmission is just not something they recommend while we have such elevated levels in our community. They don't want to see situations where people are around others and you can't wear a mask. I'm sure there's a mask out there somewhere that has found a way for you to eat food while you're wearing it, but let's just say they're not very common. So my fellow mayors and I would love to have additional tools to protect our community. Our businesses have been wonderful partners. We have many businesses that have been great about putting out signs and using their intercoms to remind people about the values of mask. We've also been able to provide funds at the city to businesses that have pivoted to provide protective equipment. We had a company that used to make toys for our public library, and they're now making plastic shields that protect doctors and nurses when they intubate patients. We have some local distilleries that are providing hand sanitizer to our public housing residents. One of our promotional equipment manufacturers is now making masks again for our public housing residents. So I've been really impressed with how businesses have stepped up and wanted to slow the spread. But we have so much work left to do in Arizona.
And finally, Mayor Gallego, because of all the work ahead and because we're talking about lives here, do you expect that you will get the support from the governor and or further up from the federal government?
We will keep asking and trying to share the news about what is happening here. We have had some hopeful moments. The governor said that when I requested to have face masks in place, that was something that helped him make his decision to allow it. And after a TV appearance where I talked about the lines for testing, the White House did call and say, we'd want to work with you. And I was on the phone the next day with the admiral in charge of testing. So I'm desperate for hopeful signs, and I hope that all elected officials will realize that the people of Phoenix are struggling with the virus, are concerned about their loved ones, and want the full support of every level of government.
Kate Gallego is the mayor of Phoenix, Arizona. Mayor Gallego, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.